96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You may be a single woman who wants to have children, just not right now. You may want to wait because you're in the middle of your career, or maybe you don't have the partner you want, or some other reason. Have you considered freezing your eggs for use when you are ready for children? It is an option that a lot of women are considering. But what does it mean, and how is it done, and what are the risks? We're talking about it on this Medical Monday. My guests are Dr. Yemi Famuyiwa, Medical Director of the Montgomery County Fertility Center, Catherine Bradley, who has had the procedure performed, and Dr. Carrie Lewis, Corporate Director for Women's Health and Specialty Programs for Prince George's Hospital. If you have a question about freezing your eggs and delaying having children until you are ready, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thanks for coming in, everyone. This is fascinating to me. So I want to go straight to Catherine. Why did you have your eggs frozen? Why did you decide to do this?
I decided to have my eggs frozen mainly for a medical procedure that happened to me that made me unable to, at one point, get pregnant the old-fashioned way, the conventional way. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I just was like, I had already had children, but didn't know if I wanted to have children later on in life with someone. So then once I made that decision, I just kind of like went to a clinic and asked to have kind of like my fertility check to see where I was, how that was going to go, how much it cost, how you went about doing it. Was it painful? All the things that like you think in your mind that you want to know. I eventually froze my eggs to one day go and continue on to do the IVF process. Mm-hmm. Because I was no longer able to have the conventional way of getting pregnant. So I needed some help with medications and adjustments. So I end up having a little boy out of one of the eggs. I had 22 eggs frozen, end up using 3, and now I have 17 embryos.
Wow. So how many children do you have via conventional methods?
4.
4 and the IVF?
IVF is 1.
1, mm-hmm. Okay. So is he smarter than everybody else?
he definitely seems to be a little bit more, I say a little different than most children that I see. He's 3, so he is very, he can read a little bit more than the average.
And of course, you know, for our listeners, I'm just joking, obviously,
oh, no,
about that. But certainly, I think that's really, really fascinating. Dr. Famuyiwa, explain this process. She mentioned, you know, IVF, and what is the technical term for freezing one's eggs?
The technical term is oocyte, meaning egg, cryopreservation, meaning freezing and preserving it. Now, a woman has a fixed number of eggs. We're all born with a fixed number of eggs. The most amount you have is when you're in your mother's womb. By the time you are born, there's a process of attrition where you lose the majority of them. Each month, when you go through a menstrual cycle, your brain actually recruits a bunch of eggs. Out of that bunch, one is selected to be the egg that's going to be released, and then the rest will die off. And that process goes on until you hit menopause, where there's nothing left. Mm. Now, in some women, that process can be accelerated, and in others, not so much. So the process of losing your eggs is an ongoing thing. And you never know quite when it's going to be accelerated in you. And you may end up in your 40s and have none left. So it's what people would call the so-called biological clock. You've mm-hmm. probably heard of my clock is ticking. That's mm-hmm. what they're referring to.
And we, you know, we've often seen in pop culture, in television dramas, where there are women that are, for many reasons, whether they can't find the mate that they want right now, or perhaps they have other familial responsibilities. They may be in the midst of a booming career, and they just don't think that this is the time to do it. Dr. Lewis, when you are having this conversation with women about freezing their eggs, what are they telling you?
Well, you know, most of the women that come to me, I do high-risk pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
So they usually come to me either before they conceive of the pregnancy, or they come after when they've already had a child and they're now older and they have concerns related to the fact that they're older and what potential risk they can have. Usually, one of the things that I think most women ask me is, what are the potential complications that I'm going to have having this child at the age of 35 or 36 or 40 or even 45? And my general response to that question is that if you're in good health now, you'll probably be in good health through your pregnancy. Now, that doesn't mean you can't develop pregnancy-related complications like hypertension and diabetes, et cetera, and we can identify the risks that contribute to that, like obesity, et cetera. But for the most part, if a woman is healthy before she conceives that pregnancy, then she'll probably be healthy through that pregnancy. As she gets older, those risks become more prevalent. So one of the things I tell patients is that you may be able to preserve your eggs, you may be able to go through IVF, and the pregnancy itself, the fetus, may be fine, but your health will contribute to that outcome. So even though the development of the fetus may be fine when you're late 30s, early 40s, your own health may have some influence on that pregnancy that you need to be at least aware of so that you can seek the appropriate counsel so that you can be observed closely through that pregnancy to try and avoid or at least control those risks so they don't add to an adverse outcome.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about freezing your eggs. Perhaps you're just not ready to have children at this moment, at this stage of your life, but would like to, and may be concerned about your ability to conceive as you get older. Well, what are the options? What are the pros and cons of freezing your eggs? If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Famuyiwa, how is this done? Talk to me about the process.
Well, what we do is we try to take advantage of what happens in your own natural menstrual cycle. So we know that, by the way, before I answer that question, I just want to just emphasize that in addition to you losing your eggs as uh-huh. you get older, the eggs also age. So the egg quality also goes down.
So they age while you age.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
that makes sense.
So your eggs at 45 may not be as good as when you are 35. Then that's an additional reason to think about it. So going back to your question of how is it done? What we do is we manipulate what normally happens in your body. We know your brain is going to participate in selecting that one egg I told you about, the dominant egg, to be ovulated in the next menstrual cycle. Therefore, what we do is we interrupt the brain's ability to choose that one egg. And then we're going to give you medications that are very similar to what your brain gives you. In other words, it's not foreign to your body. We're just giving it to you in a little bit of a higher dose. And what we're trying to do is capture that group of eggs that would normally fall off the wagon. We're going to capture them. We're going to let them grow. And we can check and we can monitor how well they're growing. And when we deem that they are the appropriate size, we can trigger the eggs. The eggs are located in the follicles, and you have to loosen the eggs up, and you can actually go collect those eggs under minimal sedation, and you can now freeze those eggs or fertilize those eggs, whatever you want to do with them.
Okay, so let me make sure that I understand this, because Catherine said you have how many eggs now frozen?
Well, I had 22 eggs, and 22. I actually fertilized them with someone else's sperm, and then we created the embryos were then frozen. So we now have 14 embryos.
Okay, and I think that's a really important point, because some people may assume that they are frozen before they're fertilized. So you're saying that
can freeze them before fertilization.
You can. I see.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, let me just point out, there are a couple of companies, Google and Apple namely, who are actually paying to have their employees have their eggs frozen, because they have brilliant engineers, brilliant people who are just not ready at this time to start a family.
Like Catherine's son.
Exactly.
The brilliant one,
so
right?
You can, when you freeze your eggs, you're not committing it to a particular person. Maybe you haven't met Mr. Right yet. Mm-hmm. You can still freeze the age of your eggs. And then 10 years down the road, if you decide, hey, I met Mr. Right, but now I'm 45, you can use your 35-year-old eggs as opposed to your 45-year-old eggs that may not be capable of being fertilized anymore.
That's fascinating. Let me go to the phone lines real quick, and then I'll have Dr. Lewis chime in. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about freezing your eggs, preserving them for a time when you are ready to have children. Ms. Johnson, calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Unfortunately, it's too late for me to freeze my eggs because I don't create them anymore. So I had surgery trying to get my body worked up so that I could have the IVF. However, the $30,000 has caused a problem for me. I'm trying to find out if women that have frozen their eggs that don't want them, if I would be able to purchase their egg cheaper, or if it's some type of study that I can get into that can help me with the cost.
Well, ma'am, when you're talking about cost, there are different options. You could use what we call a fresh egg donation. You could use, there are egg banks out there. They're numerous. They're all over the country that you can pursue. And there are some women that may offer to have their eggs adopted out. But the costs are variable when you're looking into doing something like that. You just have to do your homework and shop around.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ms. Johnson. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Lewis, you wanted to make a quick comment before I go to a break.
Yeah. One of the reasons, you know, again, like I said, I do high-risk pregnancies. Some of the patients that I see, which is relatively infrequent, but I see young patients who have cancer. I have a patient now who has chronic myelogenous leukemia. Her hematologist recommended that she not get pregnant because the medication that she needed to be on was toxic to the fetus. But she went ahead and got pregnant anyway. But the point being, had she come to talk to us about that, one of the options she could have been given was to freeze her eggs to allow her to then go through the treatment of this medication to try and cure her, or at least put her cancer in remission, and then conceive thereafter.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue with this conversation, the pros and cons of freezing your eggs. If you're on the phone, please stay with us. Tiffany in D.C., we're going to talk to you. Also, Janice in Clinton, we're going to talk to you. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Please give us a call if you have a question or a comment. We will be taking your calls even after 7:30. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, in our Medical Monday conversation, we're talking about freezing your eggs so that you can have children later in life. This is a fascinating conversation for those who are not quite ready to have children right now. My guests are Dr. Yemi Famuyiwa. She is medical director of the Montgomery County Fertility Center. Catherine Bradley has had the procedure performed. And Dr. Carrie Lewis, corporate director for Women's Health and Specialty Programs for Prince George's Hospital. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. 10. Dr. Famuyiwa, you were about to say something.
Yes, I just wanted to add a point to what Dr. Lewis said. One of the areas that is really growing is for cancer patients. And a big study came out of Northwestern where they looked at patients undergoing chemotherapy and cancer treatment who would otherwise have been sterilized with the chemotherapeutic agents. Mm-hmm. And we're finding that we're able to preserve their eggs. Now, a lot of these women, almost half of them, were able to get a surrogate to complete the pregnancy for them. So that is definitely a conversation that could be had. And it's not all over, case closed, once you're diagnosed with cancer.
I want to say that. I definitely agree with that. The reason I went to the specialist in the first place is because I have lupus. So it was a big deal for me to find out about, am I going to be able to carry the baby full term? Are there going to be complications? Am I high risk? And it definitely was like, oh, we don't think that you should be the one to carry the baby. We don't think that it's going to be good on your body. Your body's already going through enough wear and tear. Carrying a baby to full term can definitely put strain on your, whether, especially if you do have an illness. It puts pressure on your organs, on your vital organs, on your heart, on your liver, on your kidneys. And I got some of those issues towards the end of my pregnancy, but I definitely say that if you do have some issues and you're older, not even older, if you're younger in your 30s or you have lupus or you have cancer, you're carrying something, definitely check in with your physician to see, you know, if that is a good way for you to go, because a child does, you know, give you a lot of stress on your body. And the older you get, we're not getting any younger. So you definitely need to check in with your physician.
And I would imagine, as Dr. Lewis said, you were speaking about the impact of the pregnancy on you. But I guess there is another consideration of any health issue that you may have and how that may impact your pregnancy.
Right. I mean, one of the things that we're very concerned about in particular patients that have complicated pregnancies is the growth of the baby, right? Probably the most common impact that we see of the woman's health on the developing fetus is how they grow. And so we have the technology to monitor that growth so we can basically reassure ourselves and the patient that the baby is growing normally and has normal fluid around it, et cetera. But as soon as we identify that there is a problem with the growth, then it allows us the opportunity to intervene as soon as we possibly can to try and preserve not only the well-being of the baby, but also the well-being of the mother. Because sometimes, and that's kind of the art, right, is figuring how far can you go in the pregnancy to get both mommy and baby as healthy as possible. And sometimes that requires a lot of intervention, a lot of counseling, a lot of patience, but most importantly, a lot of knowledge about what's in this patient's best interest, what's in her fetus' best interest, so that they both can live a happy, happy life.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Tiffany. Tiffany calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Tiffany. What's on your mind?
So you mentioned that, you know, as women age, you know, the chances of the egg producing, it decreases over time. And that you can tell that in the menstrual cycle. So what is the, I'm asking, does the menstrual cycle have anything to do with the development of the egg? And as you age and the menstrual cycle kind of gets, you know, it lessens, does that have anything to do with producing the eggs? And if so, do you freeze them now, or do you think everything will be okay with the menstrual cycle being less than normal?
All right, Tiffany, there are several parts to your question. I think what I did say is that as you get older, you run out of eggs. You keep running out of eggs. In addition, the eggs that you do have left tend to age. Now, the question about the menstrual cycle may or may not be related to your ovaries, because some people have irregular menstrual cycles, but they have very good eggs. For instance, people with what we call polycystic ovary syndrome, they have very good eggs. The eggs are just being blocked and not being released, and they have irregular cycles. So if you have irregular cycles, the reason, the cause, the root cause needs to be worked up by a physician. Now, as you get older, your menstrual cycle could be getting irregular because you become premenopausal, in which case you are running out of eggs and your eggs are getting older, and there is no magic for that. There's no treatment for that.
Okay. Tiffany, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Janice, calling from Clinton. Thanks for calling, Janice. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Just fine, thanks.
Good. My question is, I got my tubes tied about 3 years ago, and I didn't meet Mr. Wright, who doesn't have kids. So how would that work? And I'm in my late 40s as far as trying to conceive. Like, what would be my steps, starting like from beginning to end, if I wanted to have more children?
Well, Janice, I believe you said you were in your late 40s, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
47.
So remember, I keep going back to what I said about you have fewer eggs as you get older, and the eggs that you do have left do not fertilize well. So at your age, really, your best chances of conceiving would be to consider donor egg.
Okay. Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
Much.
Janice, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I believe this is Sister Sama. Isama, thank you so much for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay. Yes, we're born by nature to procreate. However, at 20 years old, I had a condition called polycystic ovaries in both. While the doctor, who was disbarred from practicing medicine, Dr. Ahmad Farzanfar, he took the tubes because he said one was dying while he was operating on them. I do have sarcoidosis, so I did not know at that time that that condition may have been attributed to my hereditary sarcoidosis. However, I was wondering, in your former comment, if the brain is emitting a signal to push out an egg, what kind of subsidiary activity does it partake in if your ovaries are gone, if your tubes are gone? What happens? I know what has happened to me over the years. I would love to explain it in a reproductive health organ group, but it will take too much time. And as you are a doctor, you know what we go through when our hormones are gone. I was told the hormones are going to be reoccupied in the body by the pituitary gland.
Well, let me stop you there, because you've said quite a bit. I need you to Can you back up a little bit, because she mentioned a lot of medical terms. She mentioned polycystic.
Yes, I believe that you are mixing certain things together. I think that if you have some medical issues, you might want to see your doctor to talk about what the health stage you're in.
Okay, go say that again, sister, please.
That the brain is giving a signal to the body to release an egg. Since we have many eggs, your brain emits the egg that's going to be good, that's going to be used. So if a woman doesn't have ovaries, what activity is that brain undertaking as a substitute for that particular activity that we're born into nature to do?
Okay, I think if I can attempt to oversimplify, and the explanation you made in the very beginning, you said that the brain tells the body to release an egg. Okay. And you said that during this process, there is medication that you give the brain to release more eggs. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
What she is saying is does the brain know that in her case, her ovaries do not exist? They're not there. You know, what is happening after this medical procedure or situation?
Well, she mentioned that she had a couple of medical conditions.
Right, exactly.
So I think that she would need to be completely evaluated by her primary care physician. You want to look at, she has sarcoidosis, she has other issues.
And that is?
Sarcoidosis is, it can affect, it's a disease that may affect it may affect the tissues being able to breathe. It may affect, she could get very sick. And
okay.
It could affect
okay,
her.
But that has nothing to do with reproduction.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. She has that. So I guess her question is the brain still working as if she has eggs, even if they are no longer there?
I guess I would have to sit down and look at her mm-hmm. medical conditions, but I think that, I would have to look at her medical.
Yeah, it seems to be a very complicated,
a very, very complicated
question. Dr. Lewis, do you have any thoughts on it before we go back to our conversation?
Well, I can mention one of the things that I'll try and kind of review some of the questions that I'm asked for patients like this is, for example, how long can the egg stay frozen, right? And I'm sure Dr. Yemi can elaborate on that more. But what I usually tell patients, my understanding is that fortunately, there's no data that suggests that there's any adverse event that occurs with the eggs. And as important is to be able to reassure the patients that there's no evidence that the babies that result from being frozen have any problems. So, you know, when we think about technology, you know, back in the day, it was called test tube baby, right?
Right.
The first baby
mm-hmm.
was test tube baby
from
IVF.
Yes.
And it was thought then that, you know, this was a one-time shot or that it was rare or something like that. Now it's like common day,
exactly.
You know, that happens all the time. And so I think we have enough data to be able to reassure patients that this process does not result in any adverse impact on this developing fetus. Now, again, the mother's health has some impact, but as far as having the embryos frozen, the baby should be absolutely fine.
Or as we were, you know, speaking lightly in the beginning, that Catherine's children are any different from the one who was who came through the process of IVF versus those that came through, as you say, the mm-hmm. conventional process. They're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I agree with that.
Yeah. Sister, thank you so much. And as Dr. Fami Yiwa said, you know, perhaps you do need to, you know, see your physician about a more comprehensive examination to look into some of the concerns that you may have. Our lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I have many more questions and still want to find out more about this process, but I've got to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. This is the Insight segment on The Daily Drum. We're talking about freezing your eggs on this Medical Monday. We'll be back in just a moment.
Habitat for Humanity builds houses in
Back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are having another amazing Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about freezing your eggs so that you can have children later in life. I want to go back to the conversation about the removal process, the freezing process, whether you are removing eggs that will be fertilized or unfertilized. So after you take them out, what happens?
Okay, so when we aspirate the follicle, now you have to understand, typically, unless you've had adhesions or scar tissue, your ovaries are actually flopping very close to your vaginal cavity on the other side, on the inside. So they're very accessible. And so when you do a transvaginal ultrasound, you can actually see the ovaries very well. You can see the follicles growing, and you use the follicle size as well as the estradiol level to try to gauge how mature the egg would be. And then under anesthesia, you would aspirate the follicles. And usually we would hand that over to our lab, our embryologist, who's now going to look at the follicular fluid and try to identify the eggs and try to give a comment about, are they mature, are they immature, are they any good quality, poor quality. And at that time, she can choose to, if the patient so desires, the eggs can be cryopreserved. The technique used is called vitrification. In the past, they used to do a technique called slow freezing, but I think now standard is what is called vitrification, which is where you try to reduce the water content in the egg prior to freezing it, because if you freeze it with a high water content, the water content will form ice crystals that can lacerate the eggs. So you dehydrate it and then you freeze it, and it can be kept indefinitely.
That is amazing. Now, how many times, Catherine, have you been through this process?
I did one round of IVF. I did one egg, one round of freezing my eggs. It is very expensive.
How much are we talking about here?
Well, the prices vary.
Different.
So, let's tell the truth, because I mean, we had one caller say she mentioned $30,000.
Well, gee whiz. I mean, please give me that money. I don't charge that much. But you're looking around 10,000.
Yep.
10,000.
Per procedure.
Per procedure, 10,000 to 11,000 or so. That does not include the cost of medication. Medication cost depends on your age. If you're older, you're going to need more medication. If you're younger, you're going to need fewer medication. So if you don't need a lot of medication, then you don't, you will not pay as much. But you're looking around 10 for the actual procedure itself.
And that's just to remove and to freeze the
eggs. Correct, correct.
Now, for the insemination, there's so many moving parts to this.
Fertilize the eggs. You're not that far off from when you collect the eggs to freeze them in the first place.
Okay.
So that doesn't really add that much more to it.
And I think it's also where you go. You know, it's also where you go, what doctor you see. I happen to be very fortunate. And, you know, like she said, one egg is released per month. And I have one ovary and one tube. And with those two that I have, most women have two of each. Mm-hmm. I created 22 eggs, which in some cases is very, very hard for women that are going through fertility issues to do, let alone make one or two viable embryos to carry. I happen to have three embryos implanted, and I came out with one child. I carried two children, one for a full term, and the other, which was a twin, I carried for 6 months.
The implantation part, how much does that cost?
Well, if you have embryos frozen or eggs frozen that are now going to be, if they're going to be thawed and then fertilized, that may add some additional cost. But typically, you're looking around $3,700.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, because I'm just trying to get an idea for the, you know, the financial impact.
Right. I think, let me just make one point. Please do not be confused. A lot of people will have a lot of bad eggs. So patients will say, gee whiz, I started out with, you know, upped in follicles, and how come I only have, you know, so there are going to be follicles that don't have any eggs in them. There are going to be eggs that are not good. There will be eggs that do not fertilize, and the ones that do fertilize that may not grow. So there's an attrition. And I think most patients are not ready when they see that attrition take place. So please be prepared.
Attrition?
Attrition, meaning you may start out with 15 and end up with only so many that are actually good. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have poor quality eggs, or you're doing this at a later age, or we check what is called an ovarian reserve and it's not very good, you may have to have a certain number of eggs frozen in order to even think about having one or two good ones. So the earlier you start, the better.
Mm-hmm. At what age, mm-hmm. assuming that a woman has the option to think about this over the course, you know, of her life, and say, as I mentioned in the beginning of the program, let's say that she's in law school in her 20s.
I think that's an excellent question.
Yeah, and you know, should she say, I don't know what the future holds for me?
Yes.
Should she consider it then?
Well, of course, there was a study where they looked at what age should you really freeze your eggs. You're going to get the highest quality eggs by age 32. The quality starts to go down by age 35. It goes down by 37. So then you look at, well, what is the cutoff where I get the most yield? You can still continue to freeze your eggs up until age 37, 38. Can you freeze it at age 40? Yes, you can. However, the eggs will not be as good. So for you to get, like, say, two good eggs, you may need 17 total eggs. So the earlier you start, the better. It's like, think of it like buying an insurance policy that you may or may not use. So it's something to think about.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Lewis, is this considered a high-risk pregnancy?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I think in most cases, it probably is. Because the two situations in which a woman would consider this is either she has a malignancy or cancer in which the therapy may affect the pregnancy, and therefore she's delaying pregnancy to manage that diagnosis, that cancer, that malignancy, or she's of an older age and she's chosen to delay childbearing until she chooses to do that. And we all know that in obstetrics across the board, the older we are, not only is there a problem with the eggs, but there's a problem with our health. All of us, you know, as we get older, we have health problems. And so and they become more prevalent the older we become. So in most situations, even though the patient may enter that pregnancy being healthy, she may not have hypertension, no diabetes, no lupus, or no other complications, she still is at a high risk for developing these complications during her pregnancy. And there are pregnancy-related complications like preeclampsia, which is hypertension in pregnancy, or developing gestational diabetes. We know that women, as they get older, have a higher incidence of a growth-restricted baby where the babies are small, even though they don't have hypertension or diabetes. So there are complications that can occur just because as we get older, those complications manifest themselves. And that's I'm sure that goes into deciding when a woman decides to become pregnant, because obviously she wants to do it when she's ready, but she also wants to do it soon enough so that she kind of avoids or limits those potential complications that can occur as she gets older.
So here's my question. Let us assume that in the law school example or you know, a student who, or not a student, but a young woman who has her first job at the law firm or whatever you want to, where she may have the financial wherewithal to go through the process. And let us say that she is 28 years old and she has her eggs frozen. 10 years down the road, 38, assuming that she has no health complications, is the process, would that pregnancy still be considered high risk?
Yeah, it would.
It still would.
It still would be considered high risk. High risk in the sense that pregnancy has to be monitored mm-hmm. more closely than if she was 28 when she got pregnant, or even 32 when she became pregnant, because you don't want to miss the opportunity of intervening to avoid an adverse outcome. So if she comes to you now at 38 and she has a family history, for example, of hypertension. So her mother had diabetes and hypertension. But she's in good health. At least she was when she froze those eggs, right? And now she's 38 years of age. Those risks do manifest themselves as we get older. So it's not the fact that she presents with those problems. The fact is she's high risk because she can develop those problems. And it's the responsibility of the physician that's caring for her that does a thorough history, takes all the necessary information, including the family history, that they then have the opportunity to monitor that pregnancy so they can identify a problem. Because you don't want to assume everything is normal and know that there are high risk factors just based upon age, but then assume everything is going to be fine. And then she comes to you at 28, 32 weeks, and now blood pressure is ridiculously high, and you've kind of lost that opportunity to intervene.
I only have about a minute left, and I want Catherine to just share some final thoughts. You've been through, you know, the process, conventional, and now this. What do you think women and their partners need to know about this?
I think that it just needs to be known that, women this day and age, we're busy, we're moving, we have careers, we have things that we want to do in life. And then later on down the line, we forget that, hey, I might want to have a family one day. Now is the time to think about it, because there are doctors and residents, as I was talking with the doctor here, that don't even realize that, you know, hey, let me freeze my eggs. So if residents and doctors don't know, then we definitely, as women out in the community, don't know. I definitely think that freezing your eggs is an awesome thing to do, especially if you're a single woman, especially if you don't know what you want to do or where you want to go in life. And even if you don't happen to ever meet that partner, that one special man or whatever in your life, but you still want to be a mother, you have that option to choose, you know, to fertilize your eggs later on once you freeze them. I think that the sooner you think about it, the sooner it's done, especially when you're looking at your age, when you're looking at your 30s, to go ahead and make that decision. It's an investment, and that's really how you need to look at it. It's an investment in yourself, in your life, and how you want to be in becoming a parent.
This is just amazing to me. I wish we had more time. I just find this an extremely fascinating conversation, and I want to thank all of you for coming in. We've never had this conversation before, and I think it's so important to let families or potential families be informed as it relates to this. So Dr. Yemi Famuyiwa, Catherine Bradley, and Dr. Kerry Lewis, thank you all so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. And, of course, that information regarding all of our guests will be posted on WHUR.com along with the podcast after 8:30. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM channel 141 for this Monday, February 26th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio.